Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with The Second Tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search Second Tier in your podcast app.
And hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble Mailbag. Winter breaks, players who didn't appeal, and England wildcards are the order of the day. It's Saturday, 13th of January. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Vidushan Hantaraja.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Mailbag. It's Saturday, or whichever day, depending on when you're listening to it.
That's the beauty of it, isn't it?
That is the beauty of not being live. Vish, we can say naughty words and they can be edited out.
Such as...
Marcus!
Come on. That's so out of order.
Right, let's start with a question from Chris, who emailed in. Chris says, Aussie listener here. English football has become famous for not having a winter break, and other reasons as well, but yes. but I noticed that this year there is at last a kind of break with one round of fixtures split over two weekends, and every single game in a UK TV slot. Yes. Is this finally the answer to the winter break dilemma?
So we've had a winter break for a couple of years, haven't we? This isn't the first time they're doing it.
Like, it's for the first time for a few years.
Air quotes.
First time for a few years.
Yeah.
Because of the World Cup and then lockdown and all that. I think it might be the first time since, was it 2019?
But the concept of a winter break in some format has been around for a while. So it's not completely new, but it's understandable that we might have forgotten that this idea was there.
Yeah.
And it's not a full winter break, is it? It's essentially fixtures are kind of broken up in two.
Yep. Split over two weekends.
Yeah, so some teams get a week off.
Well, they all do. Prem clubs will have 10 days minimum without a league match in January. Now, if their third round ties went to a replay, as it did, say, for example, with Palace and Everton, then they'll have just 8 days off So, you know, you've got to get it done.
You do.
In the third round, if you want the full lot. So, I mean, yeah, we obviously compare winter breaks to other countries. And I know sometimes they do change. But, I mean, you know, we've seen in Spain and in France, players are getting weeks off. You know, mm-hmm. And I say that with disdain. Those so-and-sos are getting weeks off, Jim. And it's
they're on strike.
Probably on strike, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, maybe. So you do have that. I mean, obviously, Harry Kane... Head of Christmas, I think it was on Instagram, where he's replying to maybe one.
So I thought you'd given him a title there, Harry Kane, Head of Christmas,
Head of Lederhosen and goals.
Lederhosen.
There you go. Yeah. He was very much reveling in the fact that he had Christmas off. We saw Jude Bellingham, obviously playing in Real Madrid. He went to see his brother play football. In Sunderland, proving that he really does love his brother.
Yeah.
So it's been winter breaks are done differently, of course, in some of the other European countries. And Chris's question is this finally the answer to the winter break dilemma?
I suppose we should explore what the question is, really, shouldn't we? Because
yes.
People have been screaming for a winter break for a long time for a lot of different reasons.
A lot of foreign managers, for example.
Yeah, because they're used to it from other leagues.
Yeah.
Players as well, talking about the huge, huge load that's put mm-hmm. on them over Christmas in particular.
And not spending Christmas with their families.
Not spending Christmas with their families, of course, as well. And then the schedule doesn't exactly lighten up. It's just less intense. We've even had a lot of kind of discourse in the past about how actually mm-hmm. England fail at tournaments or don't even start tournaments well because they're all exhausted from there not being a winter break. I think, was it Euro 2004 where Steven Gerrard made a loose pass in our first game against France, which Henri latched onto and scored from very late on.
Yeah. And he blamed that on the winter break, did he?
I remember people blaming it on the winter break, like that specific moment.
Yeah.
Like, so
we do grasp at straws.
We
in those
certainly
moments.
Do. It's a national pastime, and I hope we never lose that.
No, but the general point is there, and I think that is fair. Now we've had a little bit of chat already with regards to this. So when Chris says, "Is this finally the answer?" Well. Perhaps not for some teams and for some individuals. Premier League clubs, or some Premier League clubs certainly, are proposing that replays in the third and fourth rounds of the FA Cup are scrapped. So basically they get this winter break that we sort of have here as long as possible. So as I say, if you do have the replay, as Palace and Everton know, you'll just have 8 days rather than 10 or more. Sean Dyche himself is actually saying scrap winter breaks because he thinks it favours the big teams with the deeper squads. And he says that the fixture list then goes crazy around Christmas and Boxing Day all around there. And he says, actually, you just cram it in there and you get tired and injuries can happen. You might as well just... He thinks it's beneficial just to kind of keep it as it was.
Spread the games out a bit more.
Exactly, yeah. Because again, he's saying, look, we have a smaller squad, that this helps the big teams.
Yeah.
That argument was also made with regards to, say, five substitutes or four substitutes, you know, whatever it was.
It's hard to think of an instance where a rule change doesn't favour the big clubs.
Indeed.
Because by the very nature of the clubs being bigger and having more resources, they can always adapt to whatever the changes are, you know, just... faster and more efficiently.
Yeah, it would need to be really specific not to favour the bigger teams, like something like you can't play Kevin De Bruyne.
Admirably, they've been doing for a while.
Yeah, and you know, and it's been slow and steady, but we've seen it make a difference, haven't we? I think the other thing that, I suppose the stumbling block would be TV revenue, TV money, TV execs, the amount of money they pour into the game. And that's before we even get into the Christmas football tradition as well. And I know we're talking a bit after that because we're talking specifically about what we have now, which is, you know, post New Year. But, you know, little things like the fact that these games are scheduled, you know, Friday night, midday Saturday, 5:30 Saturday evening, and then 2 and 4:30 on the Sunday. It's geared around TV. It's taking it further away from not just the fan, but the travelling fan. You know, we mentioned on the main show on Friday about the fact that the Luton-Burnley game, Luton fans travelling away to Burnley, that was moved with 5 days' notice, basically, which is absurd. It's a 400-mile round trip, that. Mm-hmm. But that's to me, seems to be the bigger obstacle that, you know, television companies are paying all this money.
You don't think it's fixture congestion?
No. So I'm saying it's the other side of the coin,
sorry,
as it were. It's the reason that we, maybe, you know, in English football, we don't necessarily have. Well, we've not really gone beyond this and the discussion stage of a bigger, more, you know, I suppose more continental style of winter break, because people have grown up wanting to watch football then, and TV companies know that makes them a lot of money.
And the other one, of course, the fixture congestion as well. Some suggestions in the past have been scrap the League Cup.
Yeah.
And other suggestions, as we've mentioned there, you know, scrapping replays in cup competitions or straight to penalties after 90 minutes. There has been a tiny little...
The FA Cup replays thing, it's, you know, if you're going to tweak with the FA Cup, I don't think listening to a fraction of the teams, regardless of how big they are, is the way to go about it.
Although they are the big teams, though. Yeah. But you're right.
Yeah. So, I mean, the replays are important for teams who might then get a big payday out of it, or a second big payday out of it, which is a really, really vital thing for the football pyramid. We know that the top ends of the Premier League in particular, if not all of the Premier League, are resistant to sharing the wealth and spreading it out. So, you know, to pull up that ladder even further, I don't think is something that should even be considered, really. And, you know, managers complain about it, but that, you know, those are the rules of the competitions you enter.
Yeah.
Win the game.
What about scrapping the League Cup?
Well, that prize money, as we know, is as much as £100,000. So I don't know if it's right to take that out of the football ecosystem.
Man City rely on that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And have done for a fair few years.
That'll get you Phil Foden's legs
An after win.
Yeah.
No, I mean, scrapping the League Cup, because people say in Spain, in Germany, and in Italy, most notably, they don't have a second domestic cup competition.
Yeah. They had one in Spain for a very, very short amount of time and then got rid of it.
Yeah, and so that is often looked at. Bearing in mind, I mean, obviously Middlesbrough are in the semi-final and you know, they will earn at least £25,000 from this year's League Cup. What do you think about scrapping the League Cup, Vish? Personally, I'm not in favour. I think that is a bit too drastic
a
measure.
Your club does hold it, after all,
as we found out.
Oh, yeah.
On Jack's Encyclopedia yesterday.
I wouldn't be against it, to be honest. I think you might as well like try and rework that money lower down then.
But you have an EFL. You have an EFL Cup. You have cups that are...
Yeah, and then that's fine. But maybe, you know, if there's one thing to go, the League Cup is the most obvious thing to go.
But obviously, it's going to be though?
Well, if they... So it wouldn't really affect the FA Cup per se.
No.
But it will, you know, improve things with the league. So, I mean, maybe it, to
and
a
this
point.
We are talking just, again, about a winter break.
Yeah, exactly. This is what I'm saying. So I'm trying to think about this time. Yeah.
Because there are very few clubs, realistically, that are affected by it every year. Season, just by the nature of, you know, by the time the tournament gets to the end of it, there's barely anyone in it. So I don't know if it is going to have that much of an effect. I don't, if it was missing, I don't know if you'd notice the fixtures you weren't playing.
I mean, again, the only tweak I would make is semi-finals, one-off game, not two legs, you know.
Yeah. Maybe calm down on the prize money.
Perhaps, yeah. I mean, that kind of money's
ruined the bloody game.
It's absolutely ridiculous. I actually, to answer Chris's question, I think this is the answer, really.
Yeah.
I think this is a nice balance, and in this country, and he's right to say that English football has not traditionally had a winter break. It is quite a new thing, and we love football around Christmas. I feel for the players genuinely, because to have time with their families and all is a wonderful thing, as we all know. But I just think that is one of the setbacks in what is otherwise a great career.
Yeah.
So. You know, but I do sort of slightly wince, you know, to see a footballer's children looking at me going, come on, why can't we have daddy for Christmas? And I'm like, because he's got a Boxing Day fixture.
Yeah. It's weird that they put you in charge of this.
Yeah, you wouldn't believe how important I am outside the studio, Jim. But I think this is the balance. I think it does give a little bit of a break. And also, with the games being on TV a lot, we don't miss out. Yes, you may think, oh, well, I have to wait a whole week or 7 days until I see my team play again or whatever it is. But I think there's plenty of football. And I think this is it.
I think it's potentially an answer to it. Absolutely. I guess we'll see if it has an effect on the players and in terms of their freshness and not picking up injuries from that dreaded red zone. You know, we'll see. But I wonder if actually if this does work, and perhaps I'm being thick in not thinking about how dates work, but possibly this could happen once in December, once in January, just because Daesh makes a good point. The December load is a lot.
Yeah.
It's really, really intense. So,
yeah, I mean, that, as you say, you'd need to kind of see what the knock-on effect is. That, I mean, one of the other perhaps more extreme suggestions is with regards to fixture congestion and then creating winter break is have 18 teams in the Premier League. I don't think
it's not going to happen, is it?
I don't think, yeah, the turkeys would vote for Christmas on that.
Absolutely,
one.
Absolutely, yeah.
Mm. But then it would favour the big teams.
Unless they could vote for who gets kicked out.
Yeah.
That like, would that you would know, be
what's good. What's a majority
with,
you need?
With pending charges, yeah. Maybe maybe we just don't replace any two teams who might be kicked out for whatever reason.
Ooh, that's backfired, hasn't it, lads?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Friend of the Ramble, Exhausted Sam, relate to that, on the Patreon Discord, has been in touch, and he says, which player do you not get the appeal of? Not necessarily that they're overrated, but just any time you saw them, they didn't really impress. Mine is Marco Verratti. Mm-hmm. Obviously a good player, but seems every time I've seen him play, he just rolls about and chases the referee. I understand this. Sometimes a player comes with a big reputation.
I've said this before, and I'll go into bat straight away and get us off with a big one. Zinedine Zidane. However, wait for me to finish. Wait for me to... Don't look like that. I haven't finished. Specifically in the 1998 World Cup, I remember. I was a lot younger, you know, and my football brain hadn't developed. But I was a good football... I was a good football
child.
Teenager.
The proper football child.
Yeah. No, I remember everyone obviously raved about Zidane at that World Cup, but I was... I don't know, perhaps because of the great Ronaldo and so many other star quality players in that tournament. To me, I was a bit like, yeah, okay, I'll kind of take your word for it. It was Euro 2000 when I started to think about Zidane. Like, oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
I'm having him now. But so
I mean, that's fine, because that's as you've said there, you were young. I mean, I had loads of players like that when I was young.
Well, but I think I sort of declare
you're
that.
Still because, not sure.
Yeah, he hasn't done enough. No, I think that the reason why I sort of declare that is because in the 1998 World Cup, he was brilliant. And France, you know, for that one game, he wasn't there. It really showed and he was missed. So so it's not a case of, oh, but he didn't really come alive until other World Cups. And he was not a bad player. He was a squad player. No, I just, for whatever reason, it passed me by, that one. And now I can say my age and so on. You know, in the grand scheme of things, you get the looks as you just gave me there for saying that. So, like I say, he convinced me in the end, everybody.
Yeah. He charmed you.
Which was his greatest achievement, yeah. I would say. Vish, any players for you?
Mine, I wrote down, and I think they have a very similar theme. So I think it's role in a, you know, in a successful team, specifically a three-man midfield. And you'll be able to identify it when I say the first one that sprung to mind, Thiago at Chelsea.
Right.
Okay.
I appreciate the fact that he was a good player.
Portuguese Thiago.
Yeah, Portuguese Thiago, yeah.
He came from FC Porto, it would have been, and then would later pop up at Atletico Madrid.
Yeah, yes. he wasn't Makalele, he wasn't Lampard, he was the guy in the middle who was a bit of a, he was just more of a holder.
Yeah, I should point out that it was Benfica they bought him from, not FC Porto. Assumed that with Mourinho.
And then similarly, I was always a bit unsure about Gareth Barry. Not that he wasn't a good player, again, just that I didn't quite see what everyone else saw in him, to the point I thought it was comical, and I had my fingers crossed when there was that talk of him replacing Xabi Alonso at Liverpool. Because I was like, that is not a like for like.
No.
Well, certainly I don't see it as a like for
like. That was the most boring transfer saga that has ever happened, because it went on for months. And that unsettled Xabi Alonso, like, as we know, is now is one of the a modern great in the game, achieved so much at Real Madrid, so much at Bayern, which very few players have done that, of course, and at Liverpool themselves, obviously, as we all know. But yeah, it was strange. It was to the point where apparently he was thinking about going to Arsenal and it was all ready to go. And then Wenger sort of worried about it being like a couple of million quid too much and pulled out of it, which is, again, another huge mistake.
Yeah,
and it's just, Gareth, all because of Gareth Barry.
I know.
That's a real sliding doors moment there.
And I thought,
sliding tackle that results in a yellow.
You know, even when when we finally stopped with the Gerard Lampard thing, and they were like, right, whatever happens, we need Gareth Barry in there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I did see that. But at the same time, what we really all hoped at the time was Hargreaves.
Yep.
And it didn't quite come to fruition. And similarly, deep line midfielder currently playing, who I just don't rate. And I'm sure,
you don't get the appeal of him, or you don't rate him?
Well, I don't rate him, and I also don't get the appeal of him, because it's just that's personal preference, but also I don't really see Adrian Rabiot.
Oh, yeah. Juventus currently.
Good World Cup, though.
Vish knows that.
Yeah.
Look at that.
He doesn't care, does he?
No, he doesn't give a damn. Zinedine Zidane had a really good World Cup, as I say, and it took me to the Euros.
Yeah, this is how these things go sometimes, isn't it?
And I suppose another one I was quite late to, maybe only really appreciate him at, you know, the last stages of Inter, Motta.
Thiago Motta's an interesting one. So there's a very specific player,
exactly,
and a very
similar
to
Verratti in a lot of ways.
I think there's something there.
And so I think that's just, you know, piling that all in together, realising this, you know, how specific it is. Mm-hmm. Probably just my naivety, really.
Roy Keane or nothing, isn't it, for you?
Exactly.
Those days are gone, mate.
Honestly, they not enough of them swing at people.
That's true. What about you, Jim? Anybody leap to mind?
Yeah, there is someone who leaps to mind. Obviously, he's very...
Say Van Nistelrooy.
Oh, no, I would not. He's brilliant. Imagine him and Henri together. You used to hear that every 10 minutes, and he was great. He's obviously...
A bit disrespectful to Dennis Bergkamp, by the way.
Well,
imagine them together in Europe. Come over, Dennis. Somewhere you've got to fly.
Didn't have to imagine them together.
Right, yeah.
Let's see it.
Yeah, fine.
Many times. So, yeah, obviously the player I'm talking about has a great highlight reel, but Philippe Coutinho never really did it for me. Obviously an entertaining player to watch at times. Do you know what he won at Liverpool?
I don't think he won anything.
Fuck all. Yeah, he won nothing there. And I wasn't surprised that when he left, they started to look like they were a bit more of a threat. I think there's this luxury player is too harsh, obviously, but I've always felt he's maybe in that zone. He's a player that doesn't have enough of an all-round game to essentially thrive in a team like that. And I know he went on to win things at Barcelona and at Bayern, but that was really as a kind of bit part player. And obviously, again, love a player that can score a screamer from long range, and he was brilliant at that. He's a skillful player, a lot of fun. His highlight reel will be brilliant, but there's always something about him where I just felt this guy isn't quite right for a top-level Premier League team.
That's backed up with some of the moves later in his career. I mean, when he went to Barcelona for that enormous fee, it didn't quite click there. Again, had moments as...
Again, a big part of Liverpool's success was managing to get that much money for him, surely.
Yeah.
Because they used it so well.
But he went out on loan to Bayern for best part of a season, then popped up at Villa again, if you remember, where he's apparently
still on the books. Yeah, he's on loan at a club in Qatar, I believe.
But a bit like, you know, that type of player, like James Rodriguez as well, but I get James Rodriguez just purely on that World Cup, you know, that he's very skillful, he can do things. And teams think, oh, hang on a minute, I've seen his highlight reel, we'll have a bit of that. And that works for a little bit. And then he kind of goes, but in terms of longevity, our loan deal will do, or actually the first 10 games or something, he was full of beans and it's not quite happened now. Yeah. And it's kind of dropped off. Yeah, no, I think that is an interesting one.
Another one who leaves me a little bit cold, João Félix. It's like a man who's been messed with by a Greek god. It's like thoroughbred. When it comes to the crunch, donkey. Like there's a lot of brilliant stuff about his all-round game, but it's the goal scoring, isn't it? It's haunted him.
Is the Greek god in this analogy Diego Simeone? Because he should never have gone to Atletico Madrid.
No. Yeah. It's just such a bad fit.
Crazy move. I mean, I saw João Félix when he got sent off for Chelsea at Fulham that time, and I was so relieved he did because he was one of, if not the standout player on the pitch.
But this is the thing, though. Absolutely magic until it comes to putting the ball in the net. And it's like the man is cursed. And I don't think it's as simple as the fact that Atletico play in a way where you don't get a lot of chances like that, because we've seen him at other clubs and that kind of record has stayed the same. It's a really, really weird thing. And the god would probably be Zeus. If it's a cunt's trick... Zeus is behind it. That's the rule with the classics.
Yeah, that's true.
That is fair. I mean, goal scoring wasn't terrible. I mean, again, though, look at his stats at Benfica. 20 and 43 appearances before he
can't argue with that.
But before he goes to Atletico Madrid. But then Atletico Madrid, a couple of seasons, he scored 10 and so on. But yes, the fact is, Jim, again, the point of this question is you don't get the appeal.
Yeah.
And so I can reel off the stats.
But the thing is, I can see what the appeal is supposed to be, but it comes so close to fruition, and then the goals just aren't there.
Yeah. We're currently on loan at Barcelona, so we're still on the books at Atletico Madrid. Okay. Well, final question here from Maddie. It says, if you could have one wildcard spot for the England squad in the summer, who would you go for? Shelby fresh from Turkey for me, please. Of course it is.
Is Maddie you?
I think so.
Maddie Spellow.
To me, and Luke mentioned this one, and I think you'll all go, yeah, when I say it, Cole Palmer.
Yeah.
I'd have him in the squad.
Yeah, but the fact is, he's got a good chance of making that squad.
The reason why I don't think he does have a good chance, he has a chance, because anyone who's playing well has a chance, is that I think Southgate, one of the things is the group cohesion off the pitch as well as on the pitch. And, you know, having everybody familiar and getting on well, that is a huge part of it, and therefore I think a player who has not been a part of that at all is going to have to do something incredibly good, barring injuries and all that, you know, level playing field, is going to have to do something incredibly good to really, really get in there. I think he may well get a call up in, what is it, March, the next friendlies, is it Belgium and Brazil? There's definitely friendlies against Belgium and Brazil around that time. I'm quite sure that's the next international break. But I think to at this late stage to try and get in there, having not been previously in there, I think that goes against him. And what he's done on the pitch has not gone against him. It's gone for him, but that's, I think, the situation.
And then the point you're making about Southgate and the cohesion is that he's loyal to the players he's selected. And if you think of them as Grealish, Foden...
Yep.
Madison.
Well, Madison's now in there.
Yeah.
Because Sterling's not in there anymore.
No, exactly. Yeah. So that's, and those are kind of positions primarily that he would.
Jared Bowen as well is now a little bit. I think it'd be surprised if he makes it, but the fact is he's been in recent squads and he's obviously been playing very well. So I think that is the only thing that kind of goes against
it. Essentially, I suppose.
Squad's 23 players now as well.
Yeah, so exactly. Yeah, good point. I suppose.
But that is the nature of a wild card.
Yeah. Well, so you know, it's always going to be an attacking player.
Do you think?
Unless some absolute wrong-un decides to pick a fourth goalkeeper.
Could be a defender or midfielder.
Yeah, why wouldn't it? It wouldn't have to be, would it?
Well, so the wild card could be Ross Barkley, for example.
Yeah, but a forward-thinking midfielder, yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, mine, and it's purely because of the situation at the moment, but mine is Ivan Toney. Because you've got someone who... You don't necessarily, we're not entirely sure if he's going to usurp Ollie Watkins as, say, the reserve to Kane, and that's fine. But he's an exceptional striker, brilliant hold-up play, great finisher.
Suits the style.
Suits the style. Also, an outstanding penalty taker.
Yeah, yeah, yes. I'm on that last point. It's crucial. I think Tony's a great answer. But the reason why Tony is an answer in this is because of the ban.
Yeah.
Because he was getting, you know, he was called up, I think it was against Ukraine around that time, and England won 2-0.
I still maintain that.
Could be wrong there, but he's been called up.
Yeah, recently. and he would have had this betting investigation not been going on pre-World Cup, he would have gone to the World Cup.
Yeah,
I think that's fair to say. Yeah. I would also say that as well as Watkins has done, Tony is the closest like-alike to Harry Kane. Watkins is had a brilliant season, there's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. But this is a new Ollie Watkins that we're seeing, and we don't necessarily know if he can carry on and play in the same way. We'd like to think so, and we've seen enough of him that we do think it's sustainable. Mm-hmm. Tony just seems a bit more natural.
I think Tony, if you know what I mean by this, I think he's more of a killer than Watkins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I like that. Mm. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, the only other one, if you can talk about strikers, would be Dominic Solanke.
Yeah.
In terms of wildcards.
I think also this has been tried before and not worked out.
Theo Walcott, he's retired, mate.
Could this be Theo Walcott's time? Well, he's only recently retired, Marcus. So he's recently retired enough that this could actually just mean he's really fresh.
The clubless Theo Walcott.
Yeah,
get him in. Get him a chance.
And he knows the wild cards.
And he knows the tournaments.
What about Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain?
Well, there you go.
Talking to people coming back from Turkey. What about? So you said.
Well, what's actually Jim? What's yours?
Go on then. Yeah.
Theo Walcott.
Brilliant.
The only other one I was going to say is in terms of defenders, but again, this would take injuries, of course.
Yeah.
But like Liveramento, something like that?
Yeah, very, very much a possibility. Carl Jenkinson as well could finally get a proper shot at that position.
Is he still eligible? You're going to say Matty Cash in a minute as well. Yeah. One for the foreign office.
George Baldock of Sheffield United plays for Greece. Do you know that?
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, and Tarek Lamptey plays for Ghana. We've got so many right backs. We've got them playing for other countries.
Like sending aid overseas.
Yeah, we've chopped the budget, but this is what we will do. Yeah, right. Yeah, Gordon Bennett. There we are, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Mailbag. We're back on Monday, of course, with a brand new Football Ramble. Thank you for getting in touch with your questions. Do continue to do that. Otherwise, this show will be rather boring. So we love you all. Thank you so much. Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you for Dusan Handraja.
Thank you.
Thank you once again, everybody. See you on Monday.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
The Championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with The Second Tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real Championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search Second Tier in your podcast app and hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a Pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are Pretendians teaching at universities, Pretendians running governments, Pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.